right. So our next storyteller, Steve, has a pretty great start to his life in Anchorage. When I was 2 years old, Steve got in a car and, and drove all the way here to spend 8 weeks in Alaska and see what it could offer him. And 32 years later, here he is.
Well, it was something like that. I grew up on the East Coast and got through college and decided I would struck out for some adventures. We did some traveling around the U.S., hitchhiked, and saw a bunch of the states and what have you. And eventually I got up here in 1979, and the easy job to get was to go up to a place like Denali Park and, you know, volunteer to do anything, which I did, which means I got to clean toilets and, you know, clean up after old people. And back when I was real young and they were real old. And so I did that for like 8 weeks, and then I thought, okay, I'm done with Alaska, I'll go off with my life. And then I got an offer to come back, did another job the next summer, and this sort of turned into a pattern where I worked here in the summer and I traveled in the winter. And most of my friends at Denali did the same kind of thing. And then we got into a competition about who could go to the wildest, exotic, coolest, craziest, biggest adventure place in the winter. So we'd all leave in October. I'll come back in April, and everybody would tell their story. So one year, my girlfriend and I, in 1986, decided that our adventure would be Africa. And we sort of did some research, sort of pre-internet and Google and all that, so you actually had to write letters and wait for people to answer you and those kind of things. But eventually, we hooked up with this company that has truck trips, and you can actually sign up like a tourist and pay your money, and you get on a truck, and you drive through Africa. So that's what we signed up for. And we went to London the end of October 1986. Actually, it was Halloween, the day we landed. And we had gotten our visas and, you know, sort of prepared to do this trip. We met up with 20 people from all over the world, Canada, Germany, U.S. There was four of us from the U.S., Netherlands, couple of other countries. So we had this little 20-person United Nations group. And the truck that we got on was, if you can picture sort of the middle section of this audience, the back two rows, 10 and 10 facing each other, that's how much room we had for 4.5 months through Africa. So needless to say, it was pretty close quarters. And we got to meet people and hear their stories and learn a lot about them. So the truck takes off from London. It kind of goes through Europe. Now it's November. We're camping. That's the glamorous part. We're camping, so we're setting up tents every night. We camped in the right in downtown Paris, basically, at, you know, 20 degrees or whatever. It's not the Paris you see in the guidebook. And we did that, so it's November, and now we're working our way through Spain and all the way down. We get to Gibraltar, we cross over, and now we're, you know, heading for Morocco. It's getting a little warmer, so camping's a little more fun. The way this thing is organized is that every day there's a wheel and you spin the wheel, and one week you're cooking and the next week you're cleaning up and the next week you're finding firewood and whatever the chores are. So you have to do the chore wheel. So we're in Morocco, we're cruising around. I mean, those of you who've been watching the news recently, you kind of know your northern African geography. So we're on the one side in Morocco heading across to Algeria. Can't really go to Tunisia or to Libya. Those are, you know, Muammar was already 15 years into his reign back then, so he wasn't really taking too many tourists at that point. So you hang a right, and you head down through the Sahara Desert. And the Sahara Desert is, has anybody ever been there? Anybody driven, walked, bicycled through the Sahara? Yeah, there's pretty much a whole lot of nothing there. And it goes on for days, and then it goes on for weeks. And even if you're in a truck, we're only going 30 miles an hour. We're in this little troop truck, you know, with the 20 of us bouncing along. And so there's nothing to do but sort of hang out, talk, and look out the window, which there's nothing to see because it's all desert. We eventually get to Tamim Rasset, which is like the equivalent of New York or L.A. in the middle of the Sahara. So, and it's like a wide spot in the road. We hang out there for a few days, and then we continue on down. Well, the Sahara is, you know, pretty wide open, pretty dry, pretty desolate. We did have a couple of pretty cool adventures there. We spent Christmas there in the Sahara, and we knew that we would be there at Christmas, and so we sort of planned ahead. We got some supplies. We put things into the false floor of our truck that people in Muslim countries don't want you to have. And we ended up in the middle of nowhere at Christmas. We made a negotiation with this couple of villagers. We ended up with a goat. We stuck it on a spit. We had Christmas dinner with our bottles and our fun from Western Europe. And then we proceeded to head on down. Eventually, you get down, into sort of more less desert area, more jungle, more what people may think of as Africa. And so that sort of started a whole nother phase of the trip. For those of you who've traveled a lot, you probably realize that probably the 10 miles on either side of any border in the world are kind of the squirreliest place to be. You want to sort of get through that. You don't want to hang out. But the people that run the borders in Africa are pretty excited to have you sit there and entertain them for a day or two. So we had a fair amount of time sitting there on the truck, entertaining folks, waiting for them to say, yeah, you're fine to go. You have your visas. You're good. And so at one particular border, there's only four folks from the U.S. There was an older couple in their mid-50s, and then there was my girlfriend and I who were less than 30. So they thought it would be fun to play with us for a while, and so they decided we were part of the CIA. And so they wanted to interrogate us in French, which I barely passed in high school. And so we sat there for the better part of a day, playing back and forth in French and broken English, whatever. But anyway, we eventually got through that. We moved on down, got into some other areas. At one point, we decided we should get some souvenirs. You know, there's some pretty cool things, really nice people. We should get some souvenirs. So I got a Leatherman. And this, in Zaire, which is where this came from, this is the all-purpose tool. You can build your house, you can find your dinner, you can defend yourself, you can do pretty much everything with the Leatherman. But of course, I didn't want a brand new one that you could just go to the market and buy for $2. So I went and bought the $2 one at the market, and then I waded into a group of about 40 guys with these, and I started shopping my brand new one around. Of course, they were excited because they had this old beater model. And so I eventually made a deal, and I got this really great Leatherman, and they got a brand new one. So the other souvenir that I picked up along the way, which is incredibly helpful, once again, a border thing. Folks that work at borders aren't really excited about snakes. So if you want to kind of move on and you don't want them to dig through your stuff, we would kind of throw a bunch of junk on the top and then throw your little rubber snake on the top. And as soon as they opened it up and saw the rubber snake, the party was over. They're like, get out of here. We're done with you. So I've had this for 25 years. It's a souvenir from Africa. It's been in my DOP kit and traveled all over the world and around the United States. And it's pretty much kept me out of trouble for the last 25 years. Eventually, we worked our way through. We ended up in Zaire. We ended up in jungles. We ended up all kinds of crazy places on ferry boats. And then eventually into Nairobi. 4.5 months, a lot of interpersonal conflict. That's a whole other story. I'll come back in the fall and tell the interpersonal conflict story. But you can imagine 20 people, several couples. People didn't necessarily get along. People decided they liked somebody else and a different couple better, and we had a little bit of swapping around. So that made for some quiet days in the Sahara, just kind of bopping along. You know, it's all good. We'll get to Nairobi. It's 4.5 months. We'll get there. And we did. We got on the Aeroflot flight, flew back to London, and came home. So